want to be here to live life together. Amen? Life together is so much better. And we just believe that. And I'm so grateful that you're here this morning. I got to be honest with you. We're going to talk today concerning really the aspect of fathering and being a father. But can I tell you that I'm so glad that you're here this morning? We're a little sparse today. I think it's kind of an indicator. Just up here, and I'm not turning around looking at all the time, and I know sometimes it's like the loaves and the fishes. We start and it seems dim, but then when I get up here, it's like, well, where'd everybody come from? So I know it's that way sometimes, but Spirit was speaking to me, and I know it's because He knew what I've been studying throughout this week, really a fatherless generation. It's a sad day, really, for us as a church when our highest attendance is on Mother's Day and our lowest is on Father's Day. I think it really speaks to some of the issue that we have, not just as a fatherless generation, but a spiritual fatherless generation. When dads would rather just be sitting at the lake or doing something else rather than being in the house of God, it really speaks to, really, I think, some of our issue. And it's not just society's problem, it's ours here as I look around. And please hear me. I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but we need God to do a major revamp, major working in the lives of men today. And that's not to disclude or exclude or try to marginalize ladies' roles. Man, we are a team. We are one. We are together. God is pretty emphatic in His Word about the husband and the male's role in the family. The enemy's been trying to tear that up from the beginning. And I'm just so grateful, so glad that you men made it today. You're setting a standard for your family that I can tell you it will never return void. It will never return back to you less than. And I'm so grateful and glad that you're here today. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're not a father, but I can say this, every one of us have had a father. All of us today here, we are either a part of celebrating, remembering, honoring, or forgiving a father that has given us life. No matter how great or how horrid maybe your father has been to you, He did do this, and that's give you life. I think so often if we could just choose, right? Some of us today are blessed to, if we were given that choice, we would choose our Father, whom we have had. Some of us not as blessed today, who have felt maybe abandoned, maybe neglected. But today, can I tell you that as we look to God's heart really for us, that we can choose to forgive. And I'm so grateful in life that we just don't learn from the good things. You know, in fact, sometimes the greatest teacher is not the blessing. Sometimes for us, the greatest teacher isn't the success. Sometimes for us, the greatest teacher isn't all that has been so good, but sometimes it's that which has not been so good. And today we can forgive. We can forgive a man for being a man. We can forgive a person for being selfish, inconsiderate, feel like I'm starting to name my qualities here. Inconsiderate, neglectful, we can forgive today. And can I encourage you that forgiveness is what we should do? But maybe you're here today, and like me, you've been blessed. I've been blessed. Had a great father. One that I would choose. Not based on his physique or hairline, but based on his character, his love for his family, that still extends today. In fact, my mom and dad came up yesterday, and just to bring a table that my dad had built for my son for Legos, and just because he loves. And I think that that's what I really want to aspire to. So no matter how great of a role model you've had, or maybe how blessed, now please hear me, blessed of an example that you've had not to become, this morning we have a Heavenly Father who far surpasses all of them, who is greater than each and every one combined. And today, that's really what I want to look at for us. So Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26, and we're going to read through. We realize it's not, Paul doesn't write this to the church in Galatia, basically chapter and verse. It's a complete thought here, and we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 7, but I really want us to kind of really grasp the whole concept of really what he's trying to explain and expound upon here to the believers. And it's this, beginning in verse 26. He writes, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, we were children. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Let's pray this morning. Father, today we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for every father today. Fathers who knew you and loved the way that you have loved us, and that love was evident in their lives. Lord, and I also today, we choose today to forgive those fathers who did not love the way you have loved us. Fathers who have neglected, been absent, mistreated. Father, today we thank you for the life that you give us, but also that we have been given by our fathers today. So we remember, we celebrate, we honor, and we forgive today. And I just pray that in and through and by your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. Challenge us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deanna, do you have the picture that says Dad 2? I sent you an extra email. Okay. As you get it, I'll talk about it. I was blessed, as I said, to really have a great father. And still to this day, not just was a good father when I was young, but has continued to be a good father even as I've matured. And he's still teaching me. He's still showing me. He's still helping me grow and understand what it means to be not just a man, but a man of God. See, I think it is important that fathers teach their children, especially boys, what it means to be a man. And for fathers to teach their girls what a man should look like. So much more importantly, I think it is the task and responsibility and really the privilege that a father has, that the other one. I think that might be Dad 3. Privilege of what a dad has to raise and to teach their children about the love of a heavenly father. A long time ago in a galaxy far away, this was me when my hairline was intact, before kids. And I tell you, as I look at this picture, it's like, it's one of my favorite pictures. Because one, it's one of the few that we have of my dad actually, where he looks kind of fit. But two, it really is like this incredible picture of how much really I felt loved and cared for. And I was blessed. Absolutely blessed. I know, and I have been friends with people whom their father was maybe in ministry, and you see my dad's holding the Bible here. And behind him is a church that he actually was a part of seeing built. And this right here, this building over here, was the old church. And it didn't seat very many, wasn't very big. And they were actually, as they saw incredible growth and good things happening. And can I tell you, my dad never, even in growth and things happening, my dad never lost sight of his family. He never got caught up in the doing the work of the ministry that he forgot about his greatest ministry, which was to his family. So it's a picture to remind me, even as we continue to see God do things, never to lose sight of the most important thing in life. And I'm not pointing at me like I'm the most important thing in life. I'm saying that family, son, right? I was blessed to have a dad who was always there. I didn't grow up in a fatherless home. But can I tell you today that this is not necessarily the standard? That over 30% of children grow up in fatherless homes. There are 24 million, more than 24 million children growing up in a home without a dad in America. Found some statistics that I thought were pretty staggering. And it says this, that 73% of all incarcerated males grew up in fatherless homes. that 63% of all teen suicides grew up in fatherless homes. That 71% of all high school dropouts grew up in fatherless homes. That 50% of all incarcerated females grew up in fatherless homes. That 85% of kids with behavior disorders grew up in fatherless homes. That 65% of teen pregnancies are a result of young girls growing up in fatherless homes. The effects on children, especially in regards to abuse, is this, that 77% of kids who grow up in fatherless homes are at greater risk of physical abuse in life. That 120% of kids that grow up in fatherless homes are at greater risk of child abuse as they grow up. That 80% of kids that grow up in fatherless homes are at greater risk of serious injury due to physical abuse. Can I tell you that God didn't make a mistake when He made male and female, and He calls one to be father and one to be mother? In fact, it doesn't happen without that. I want it to be a biology class, but you know what I mean. It doesn't happen without it. And the father position, role, is so critical. It's so critical for each and every one of us. That the truth is, some of us have never known or recognized how much it has affected us each and every day. Some of us do know how much it has affected us each and every day. This morning I want us to look at here, see, because as I was praying and really getting ready, I thought, okay, well, who can I look at in God's Word kind of as an example? Sometimes just saying God or looking at Jesus is pretty lofty. So I thought, you know what, let me see if I can find somebody else. So I thought about David. Here's a man after God's own heart. And as I'm looking through and I'm studying, I'm thinking, this isn't looking too good. David was still a man. And some of his bigger failures we know. But can I tell you, his greatest failure, sometimes we don't recognize, we don't put up there. We know that he was out on the roof when he should have been at war. We know that he lusted after a woman, especially, and it was another man's wife. We know that then he had an affair. But can I tell you that even his greatest failure really was that he was a bad father. Out of all of that, and probably including that. So I thought, nope, David probably isn't the right guy here. So I looked elsewhere and I thought, well, David was anointed king by a prophet named Samuel. I thought, oh boy, okay, let's look here, maybe. Nope. Another hard no on that one. Where David was more the absent father, Samuel's definitely more the permissive father. In fact, even to a degree in which the people come to him and say, "You say you are speaking for the Lord, but your own kids don't even follow what you believe. Give us a king." I tell you what, for me, when it comes down to really what I'm striving after, it's really for not for my kids to graduate with some sort of degree or grade point or this or that or be this or that. It's really that they would know God and follow Him. To me, those are the greatest benchmarks of a great parent. And sometimes, can I tell you, parents, that even when we do our best, it doesn't always go our way? That just because a child of yours is not wholeheartedly serving the Lord isn't because you failed. Each and every one of us have our own will. Our own will and our own choice. But for me, what I really desire most is that my kids would know the Lord and that they would follow. That's my greatest heart. That's my prayer. Can I tell you, parents, that if you've got some young or old ones out there, older ones out there, not following or serving the Lord, can I tell you that it's not over yet? That it's not over yet? Can I encourage you to be praying for them? Can I encourage you not to give up and not to lose hope that we serve a God of the impossible? That we don't just sing about it, but we really believe in it. That He really is that God. And He can do more than what we can even imagine. Now, He may do it in a different way than what we imagine, but He moves. He moves. Don't give up. The truth is, as I kind of really looked at God's Word, I really only came across a few guys who were really worthy of talking about, which is scary, in regards to being a great or a good father. It says Job was a good father, that his kids knew, and that he prayed for his kids, and that his kids knew the Lord. But then we know how that worked out for his kids. And I thought, well, that's not probably what we should look at today. And then there's another fellow, Jonadab, that we see, but he only has a couple verses in 2 Kings. But here's a man whom, when spoken about, it talks about how his children honored and obeyed him. Boy, that is worthy of talking about. I'll say that. Trust me, I got some kids. Yeah, I really thought this, and then I thought, okay, well, let's just go with the cookie cutter, right? Let's talk about the parable of the prodigal son. And the Lord really directed me, led me here to Galatians chapter 3, and I believe it's for a distinct purpose and reason for us today. For us to be encouraged, but also for us to be challenged. And I'm speaking specifically this morning to the men, but ladies, please don't feel any other way, in the same way the men didn't feel any other way when we were honoring the ladies. Because here, just like it says in Galatians, all are sons. All are sons. You may feel out of place this morning, ladies, thinking, wait a second, you will not take away my identity. I am a daughter of the King. You know? That was a good one. That was the spirit. It says, all our sons. And can I ask you, please, don't be offended. And I'll tell you that we as men won't be offended when we are referred to as the bride. Today, Paul writes that we're all sons. In fact, he even gets into the nitty-gritty and he says, male, not male or female. He's bringing us all in. That in Christ, we are all sons. And that's a good thing. This morning from our passage, I want us to see quickly a few things that I believe are so essential for us to gain and to grab a hold of in regards to fathers, fathering. what we gain from that, and then also what we as fathers should aspire to. The first is seen here in Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." The first thing that I think is so essential that we receive and that we really gain as and from fathers, and as fathers, we should be reflecting in and to our children is this. The first thing is, from fathers we receive validation. Validation. And I want us to see kind of two aspects of this. First, validation in identity. And second, validation in importance. Validation in importance. Phil, I know when you run on the back of your... Oh yeah, you, Phil. Yeah, you. When you're running on the back of your jersey, it doesn't have anything, right? Well, Phil, I grew up playing sports, but I never played football. I mean, I know you're shocked by the physique and the grit and toughness of my character, but I never played football. I had football friends who were a lot bigger than me. One of the reasons I didn't play football. I thought, them versus me, this doesn't seem right. But can I tell you that when I would go to the games and I would see these jerseys, I thought, man, I want a jersey. I want a jersey that's got my name on the back. And that's what our high school had. You get a home and away jersey and your last name on the back. Now, if you know my last name, you know that that's a lot of characters. Basically goes from one shoulder pad to the other. But can I tell you, when I finally did get that jersey, how proud I was to have a jersey with my name on the back. I earned it. I earned it, believe it or not. And I had my name on the back. And at school, day of game day, you wore your jersey. You had that name on the back. Now, can I tell you that if the back of my jersey didn't say he hate me or didn't have my name on it, it had my last name. Last name. Something that I didn't ask for. I think if I had the choice, I'd have went with something a little bit easier to pronounce. Easier to spell. I still, to this day, people look at my name and say, no, I'm not even going to try it. I say, fair enough. But can I tell you, I was so proud to have that name on the back of my jersey. And it wasn't my name, Tom. It was my last name, my family name. Can I tell you that I got that from my dad? That he didn't even choose it. But that he got that from his dad. And him from his dad. And there is validation in fathering, in being a father. And one of that is giving your name. Can I tell you that if fathers, all we do is give our last name, we're missing it? It's an important aspect, but that's just the start. And can I tell you, the journey is long. Some of you are like, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. So when it comes to this fathering game, the truth is I'm still more of an amateur. The truth is, I'm still trying to figure it out each and every day. But I know this, that my kids need my need validation that would come from me. Can I tell you that if fathers, they don't find validation from you, they'll find it from somebody else? Some of those statistics really revert back to that. You know, when you hear about people who have just really gone through a hard road and grew up without a father, and I didn't have anybody telling me I was beautiful or anybody telling me that I was this or that. It's more than just the last name that we give. It's a first name. It's a understanding of who they are more than a name. It's a validating them. I try to be careful with my son because I'm very performance driven. Do this and I'm happy. Don't listen and don't do this, I can be very not happy. Oh, just me? I can be very performance driven. But can I tell you that validation should not be merely based on performance? It should be based on position. Son, daughter. Try and tell my son when he doesn't do well at something, hey, buddy, I love you. Because I want him to know that I love him the same. When he does all these soccer moves and makes this crazy stuff and then scores a goal, and I'm acting like a maniac on the sidelines, I want him to feel that same I love you as he does when maybe he messes up. Can I tell you that fathers, we play a huge role in this? Mothers are usually the one that come alongside. It's okay. Dad stands back. It might be okay with you, but not with... Can I tell you we play a big role in this? That we better start validating and loving our kids for who they are rather than what they do. Because if they're just validated on what they'll do, what they do, they will try and do more. Yet never rest in the love of a father. Boy, there's some of us here today that's how you almost try to be with our heavenly father, because your earthly father, that's just what it was. It was never good enough. It was always something else. You got to do more. You got to be more. So then when you hear about a heavenly father, you think, oh goodness, what do I got to do? But when you've been loved by a good father and you know it's not about just what you do, it's who you are, you can rest in that. There's peace in that. Can I tell you that our heavenly father isn't just looking up like, oh, there goes Steve again. Unbelievable. Every time. Well, if he would just do this, I'll love him more. Well, if he would just be this, then I would look favorably upon him. No, that our God loves us. Because we are in Christ. We are sons. Heirs to the promise. Fathers, we need to be the ones validating our kids. And that validation doesn't mean we throw out everything like, oh, well, I guess I don't have to bring correction. No. Do. But when you do it in love, when you do it for not punishing but redirecting, caring for rather than dictating to, there's a big difference. Are we validating our kids? Are we being fathers who validate in identity? Paul points to this. He says, look it. We are, what does he say in verse 28? There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul says, let me See, you used to look at yourself and validate yourself because you were a Jew. Not any longer. You used to find validation in that you were a free man. Not any longer. You used to find validation in the fact that you were a son. Not any longer. Male, I should say. Not any longer. He says, we're all one. We're all sons in Christ Jesus. Another aspect of validating fathers that we must do is not just validate in identity, who they are, but validate in importance, what they're worth. I know of people who were always so crushed and always never felt good enough because they never felt validated from a father. That father approval, that father that says, my daughter, I tell you what, she is a trip. Huge difference between raising sons, raising a daughter. Can I tell you that even in her somewhat whimsical or I don't care attitude, I know that she so needs to hear how valuable she is to me from my own mouth. How beautiful she is. How incredible. Now, it's both with sons, too. But I see it so uniquely in my daughter. She'll come down in a dress and just... I might fall down. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That may not work again. Carpet don't, you know, I don't got flat bottoms on. She just glows. And it's because every time, like, oh my goodness, you are so beautiful. And even Cole, when he does something and then he's like, he don't know how to really like react. But I know in that moment, he knows. His dad is proud. His dad loves him because he feels that validation, not just an identity. Well, I have to be your son. You don't have a choice. No, not only an identity, but also an importance. Fathers, you know how we show our kids how important they are to us? You spend time with them. Can I tell you that time is the most valuable thing that you have? Time is the most valuable thing you will ever have. And unfortunately, you never get back. Can I tell you that time is also the hardest thing sometimes to give? Man, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good provider. Yet I can give them everything and yet never give them anything. Can I tell you that your kids need more than just you to buy them what they want? They need you. That they need your time. They need your attention. Can I tell you that maybe you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I don't got any kids or this or that. Can I tell you that there is a spiritual fatherless generation as well? And we really need some spiritual fathers to rise up and really start fathering the fatherless. I believe I'm somewhat of an anomaly, being able to trace back fathers who love God and love their families. Because not many people can do that. And we may have biological parents, but can I tell you there's some orphans spiritually in this room today? That it'd be nice if some of the, what did we say, wisdom, wiser men of the faith would take under their wing and say, you know what? I'll be a father to you. I love you. I'll spiritually show you how to walk this out. Not that we're perfect, but that we know that we need one another. Some here today are the only believers in their family tree. No faith lineage. No. Hey, this is just what we did. I mean, I grew up doing. No. Some are like, I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing here. But I know God's touched my heart. And I know He's calling me, and I know He's moving on my life. And we need some fathers. We need spiritual mothers to come alongside. Some people have family far, far away. We need spiritual grandparents. Can I tell you that none of us are off the hook? No, Pastor. God called me just to come in and sit. No, He didn't. That's the enemy who wants you just to come in here and sit. God has made you for a purpose, and it's greater than filling a seat for a couple hours. It's loving. If the love of God simply just resides within us and doesn't move from within us, it will become stagnant. God's love is described as a well. A well that would come from within, that would move from within. And that we would be and show the love of God to those around us. In a society and in a culture of fatherlessness, even should I say in a spiritual society, a spiritual culture of fatherlessness, can I ask us, who are we fathering? Fathers, we need to be validating our kids, because if we won't, somebody else will. The enemy knows that this is a great need for us to be able to find validation in our identity, in our value, our importance. And if we won't bring that to those around us, those who are have God has blessed us with, the enemy's ready to move in where we will not move toward. The second thing I want us to see, a second essential key that a father brings, is not just validation, but here maybe is maybe the more typical response in which we talk through, and that's protection. Protection. I want to look at this two ways as well. See, when let's put that one picture of me and my dad up again. When I was growing up, my dad was like a giant to me. Now, you can see he didn't have 22s. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't rolling deep that way. You know, he wasn't pressing hundreds of pounds. But can I tell you, I always felt safer when my dad was around. I knew this. I might not always make the right choices, might not always do the right things. But when it came to my dad watching over me, being there for me, he wasn't going to watch me take a beating. He wasn't going to stand by and say, well, that's just what you get, but that he was going to fight for me. Can I tell you that that's what I hope my son knows? My daughter? Sons? That I'm not going to stand by, but that I'm their biggest defender. I've got into it with some parents. Not my best lovable moments. But I love my kids. Say a mama bear, but I tell you what, watch out for that dad coming around the corner, because that's me. I'm going to defend, and when it comes to protecting fathers, we need to be defenders. We as fathers have allowed too much stuff. We've allowed too much. Well, Pastor, I want to get them ready. I want them to grow. Yes, and there's a time for that. But there's also a defending time. That we stand at the gate and we say, nope, you're not welcome here. When was the last time we interceded on our kids' behalf? That we prayed and we asked God, God, I know that things are moving, things are happening with them, but no longer. Lord, I just stand in the gap right now and ask that you would move mightily on them, for them. I'm so great that we have a spiritual father who's always our defender. In fact, Paul even writes, if God be for us, who could be against us? That we see in Psalms, in chapter 94, verse 22, that the Lord is my defense. Psalms 118, that the Lord is my strength and my defense. See, my dad's huge in regards to the physique. Okay, maybe not so much. But my God is so much bigger. My God is an all-powerful God. That he can withstand, that nothing can stand against him. And I just wonder if we believe that still today. Fathers, are we standing, protecting, defending? I see throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, we see God moving on his people's behalf. And I wonder for us, fathers, are we protecting? We defending? And then the second aspect is it's not only protection, it's not only defensive, but it's personal. See these famous people who walk around with bodyguards. Sometimes I think it's funny, but sometimes I'm sure it's a necessary thing. But and there'll be this one famous person in like a little circle of like big, huge people. And it's like they're walking, and then you got these big, giant people around them. And it's defensive, but it's also personal. See, we have a God who not only defends us, but here we see Paul says that we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, this is really a mind-blowing statement that Paul reveals to this church. See, because for the Jewish people, it was not uncommon for them to regard or look to God as Father. In fact, it wasn't even uncommon for the Greek or the Roman to have their gods who they viewed as Father. For the Greek, it was Zeus, right? The Father, the one who gives life. For the Romans, it's Jupiter. We see that they regard their gods as Father, but they're like this distant entity that maybe has provided life or allowed for life, but there's no personal relationship. And when Paul says that we can cry out, Abba, this is mind-blowing. Because with this statement, it incurs relationship. That not just a giver of life, but one who would be intimate, one who would be close, one who would walk beside, one who would come along and be there for an intimate relationship. And this is different than what they've ever known. What do you mean? We just need to know the law. It's not a, we just need to follow this. We just need to do this. No. It can be so much more. Jamie and the worship team come. I wonder for us, fathers, Do our children know and understand and feel protected by us as fathers? Can I tell you that there is an awesome feeling of me, right? The spiritual maybe head here of this body, Christ being the head, right? But he's anointed me here. Can I tell you that even in my anointing, that there's almost no greater joy that I get when I get a text from a spiritual father who says, you know what, I'm praying for you today. Believing for some things for you today. Did I say that just does something for me? In my being? In my heart and in my soul? See, my dad doesn't look like this anymore. We could put that other picture up. But can I tell you that when I look at this picture, there's nothing more that says and it really exemplifies that protective nature of a father that would say, I'm here for you to defend you, but I'm also here for you to be with you. But that we would have a father, and we have a heavenly Father whom loves us so much that He defends us, but He's also there for us. Can I challenge us as fathers? Can I challenge us that we should too? Not just bring validation in regards to identity and importance to our kids, but also protection in regards to defense and closeness in relationship. The wheels are falling off right now. It's okay. Because He's in. And He sits at the right hand. Can I tell you today that when you realize who your Father is, you no longer will complain to your God about how great your storm is, but you will declare to your storm how great your God is? When we recognize and understand who our Heavenly Father is, we'll no longer look at the ground like there's no hope, but we'll look to the sky knowing that He is our hope in all things. Can I tell you today that we have a Heavenly Father whom is this, that in Christ we are sons, that in Christ we're heirs. You can start playing. We got it. This morning I want to pray over all the men that are here. Man, can I tell you that you're not done yet? Some of us know that. Some of us know we're not done yet. Some of us look at our little ones and think, oh boy, Lord, come quickly. Some of us look at our little ones and think, God, I need you. Some of us are empty nesters. Kids gone out of the house. Can I tell you that we need you still? To be spiritual fathers in this house? So this morning, I just want to ask if the men will stand. Maybe you're here today and you are a father. Maybe you're here today and you are not. That's okay. If you're a man and you're 18 years or older, you stand up. Oh, this is great. As I look around and I think, God, you are calling us to reflect your image. That we are the image bearers of God. That in Christ we're sons. And He's called us to be men who will be fathers to a fatherless generation.